Last Sunday, if you are here today for the first time, you have caught us in a transition Sunday. Last Sunday, we completed a series where we looked at encounters that Jesus had with individuals during His earthly ministry and then after His ascension or after His resurrection. And next Sunday, I'll tell you now, next Sunday, the plan is to begin a series through the book of Revelation. We're going to be going verse by verse, and more than likely, we're going to try to cover the first verse next Sunday. Now, don't let that scare you, because you're thinking, if we're only going to cover the first verse in one Sunday, there's 22 chapters, that means Jesus might come back four times before we get through that series. But what I'm going to have to do, I've got to introduce the concept of apocalyptic literature and the purposes of the book of Revelation. I want you to understand the context, ways of interpreting that book. And so it's going to be almost more of a Bible study class than a sermon somewhat. And then once we get through the introductory material so you can understand how to study and interpret the book, then we're going to really work our way through the vision John has in chapter 1, the letters to the churches, and then immediately it gets into the Great Tribulation. And so there's going to be a lot in there. I'm excited about doing it, and it's going to be challenging, but I think it's where God is leading now for us. So we're in a transition today, and what I wanted to do today, you see in your bulletin that I'm entitling today's message, a question. And the question is, what is Sunday school? Now you say, what in the world? We just finished all these encounters, and I think you enjoyed and benefited from those messages. I did. If you didn't, I did. That's fine. And we're going into a pretty heavy topic with the revelation of the end of time and all of that. So what in the world are we doing here today? Well, next Sunday, here at Mountain View, and really at most churches across the nation, begins a new Sunday school year. If you are moving up from a particular grade level to the next, you'll be in a new setting next Sunday. And we are thankful here at Mountain View that we have Jerry Kales, who organizes and puts in us a passion for Sunday school. And so a few weeks ago, I told the beloved Jerry Kales, I said, I want you to know that as we move from our series of Jesus encounters to the Revelation, I'm going to use that last Sunday of August to kind of prep us and pep us up as we think about Sunday school. And so when I got to thinking about that and emphasizing our Sunday school hour and Bible study time, I realized not many people know, where did Sunday school come from? When did it start? Did we start it in 1895 when the church began? Okay, where does it come from? Why do we have it? What does it mean? And why is it important? So I want to use today, I'm on the verge of saying this is not even a sermon as much as it is a preparation for a new Sunday school year and really wanting to emphasize the importance of Bible study in a smaller group. Now, to do that, I want you to turn today to the book of Matthew. Matthew includes, at the very end, what people recognize and identify as the Great Commission. And you say, if we're going to talk about Sunday school, if we're going to talk about Bible study in a smaller group setting, what does that have to do with the Great Commission? At first, I would have agreed with you. In fact, as I was trying to prepare for today, I honestly thought, where is and what is the passage I would turn to that we can use as an anchor as we emphasize studying the Bible together among your peers in a smaller group? And I got to thinking about this passage, you know it well, simply the Great Commission. And there's something in this passage that to me drives the reason behind our groups of Bible study. Whether it be a Wednesday night as we meet in here, whether it be Sunday morning prior to our service, but it drives the reason that the church ought to be concerned about studying together among peers in a group. Matthew 28, I think I'm going to start in verse 18. This is after now the resurrection. This is after Easter. Jesus has risen from the dead. He meets with his disciples back in Galilee. He gives them some final marching orders as he ascends to the Father of what we ought to be about as a church and as an army of believers. We read those marching orders in verse 18 where it says that Jesus came and spoke to them, spoke to his disciples. And here's what he said. Final words out of his mouth to what would become the church. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." Okay, this is what I want you to do. This is your commissioning as my followers. "Go ye," okay, that's all of you, all of y'all. This is a plurality of people. "Go all of you therefore," and here's what I want you to do. "I want you to teach all nations." Now the word "teach" is the word "disciple." I want you to disciple all nations. I want you to make disciples, make followers, make pupils, make learners, make students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. As you do so, as you make disciples and baptize them, also in verse 20, I want you teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here is the promise Jesus makes. "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, end of the age." And Matthew adds an amen, which in Hebrew, in Greek, and in English simply means, "So let it be." Okay, that is Matthew's amen to Jesus' final instructions on this earth before he ascends to the Father of what we ought to be about as a body of Christ and a local body called the church. Now let me give you, as we begin here, what I believe may be three key terms and activities that we ought to be concerned about as a local body of believers and part of a universal body of believers, the church. When you go through the Great Commission, you'll find here that number one, Jesus talks about evangelism. Evangelism is sorely lacking today in many believers' lives and in churches. In fact, in our Sunday school class this morning, if you're using the same material, we're going through loving your neighbors in our material. The last lesson of this unit was evangelizing your neighbors, okay, sharing Christ with your neighbors. And I'm going to tell you, I told the class today, and I know it may not be what you would expect, but it's just true. For me, okay, God has given us different spiritual gifts. He's given us abilities to do different things in the kingdom of God, in the church. And some of us, it's more natural and easy than it is for others. Now, evangelism is not a spiritual gift. Evangelism is a command. Now, the gift of evangelist, that's a spiritual gift. Okay, Steve Freeman has a gift of evangelist. But evangelism has been given to every single believer, and I told my class, and it's just confession. I struggle with it. Okay? Now, some of you just sighed or had a great sigh of relief. You say, "You know what? I do too, but I don't want to tell anybody." But you're saying it from the pulpit. Yeah, I'm saying it from the pulpit, y'all. I struggle with evangelism. Okay, I know the content. I know how to tell a person to be saved. I do it in every funeral message. I do it every sermon. I know the content. But personally, and just getting in that one-on-one with the stranger pumping gas or the cashier at Food Lion, the person I bump into on the street, it's a struggle to start that conversation for me. Now, some of you, if I asked you, you would raise your hand now. You'd say the same thing. Like, yes, I want people to be saved. And I love it when folks come to know God. Their lives are so much better on earth. But it is a struggle. So you're hearing me say that. Some of you, It's so natural. You can take a stranger that nobody else can relate to, and within 5 minutes, you're like best friends. Okay, you've got the ability, you've got a personality, and man, for you, it's so easy. But where your struggle sometimes is I can talk to people, and I can talk about the weather, and I can talk about the preseason football game, and I can talk about the FedEx Cup with the final today with the golf tournament, and I can talk about things at work, and I can talk about the funeral we went to yesterday, and you can talk and talk and talk and talk, but you never get to the gospel as you talk, right? So we all struggle, I think, with this for the most part. Now, Jesus says in the Great Commission, as he begins here, I want you to know that all authority and power is given to me. Okay? There is nothing that happens in this world that is not under the sovereignty and within the knowledge of Almighty God. I said that yesterday with Madison, and I know it's hard to understand, but in God's sovereignty, she did not live one day more than she was supposed to, and she didn't live one day less than she was supposed to. In a fallen world, a world that is torn by sin, broken by sin, we all struggle with issues. We all struggle with health issues. Madison struggled with that. But in the sovereignty of God, He causes all things to work together for good for those that love Him. The Bible says all power and authority is given to Christ in heaven and on earth. Now, because of that, because He's got all authority, Jesus could have said anything at this point. He could have given us any instruction at this point. Here is the instruction He gave to us. I want you to go. Okay? You don't only come to Him for salvation. You go for Him with a mission. I want you to go, therefore, because I've got all authority, and here's a key term, I want you to teach or make disciples of all nations. That is the evangelism. What is a disciple? A disciple is nothing more than a student. It's one who is taught. If you are a school teacher, you don't think about it this way, but as a school teacher, you are making disciples. You're making ones who are learning, ones who are taught. That is your objective as a teacher, to make students, to make those who learn, to make those who understand. Okay, that's what Jesus says about evangelism and making disciples. We want people to understand and know God and know what He expects of our lives. So Jesus says, I want you to go and make disciples. Teach people. Let them know. Now notice, and I know this is, my goodness, Billy, with the IMB and our mission board and NAM and all. Man, this is it. Now look, do this and make disciples of all nations. All nations. All peoples. Why, oh why do you, if you go, whether it's online or go to the headquarters there with IMB in Richmond, why do you find maps that are not only drawn based on political boundaries, geographical boundaries? You find maps that are drawn based on groups of people with a like culture and language and religious background. These are people groups, and we want to reach the peoples with the gospel and make disciples of them. That's what Jesus is talking about. So Sarah right now, she's not just in Central Asia on vacation. Believe me, it's not been vacation. The poor girl's been moved all over the world with COVID and different things that's come up. It's not vacation. She's there trying to do the Great Commission, making disciples of all the people groups of all the nations. You say, why is that important? If for no other reason, we know that God wants people from all nations around the throne. They're going to be worshiping Him. You're going to see that in the book of Revelation. But for no other reason, if you want to say this is a bit selfish, that's fine. But if for no other reason, here's what Jesus said, I think in Matthew 24, four chapters earlier. He said, this gospel is going to be preached in all of the world before the end comes. Okay? So if you're eager for the end of time, if you're eager for the return of Christ, if you're eager, again, to see loved ones who have gone on before you, if you're eager for that, Jesus says, all the people groups of the world have got to hear the gospel before the end comes. So he starts off with evangelism. Now, the second key word I put up here. Now he says, you're making disciples But as you're making disciples, as you're going and doing so, they are being baptized. Okay, why does every church either have a built-in baptistry, a portable baptistry, or they find a creek or a pond or a lake or an ocean somewhere to baptize? We do it because it's commanded as a statement of a person's faith. And Jesus says we ought to be doing that in the Great Commission. We evangelize making disciples, being baptized in the name of the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it's verse 20 that really catches my attention this morning. Here's what it says. As you go, as you are reaching peoples, as you are making disciples, as you are baptized, now look at this, make sure you are teaching them. That's called education. You may not believe this, but when I was in seminary working on the Master's of Divinity degree, I took an entire class that was entitled The Teaching Ministry of the Church. And we talked about Sunday school, and we talked about Bible studies, and we talked about children's ministry and youth ministry, but every ministry we talked about centered around the church's responsibility to teach. Now, why do we have such a passion and conviction to teach? Well, look at what Jesus said. As you're baptizing, as you're making disciples, now look what He says, you are teaching them to observe everything Jesus has commanded. Everything Jesus taught to His first disciples. He says, take now what I've given you and teach it to others. Now let me say, from my perspective, if a church is claiming to follow the Great Commission and all they do is make disciples and reach people with the gospel and then they baptize, but they never teach, they have not completed then the Great Commission. Jesus says you're evangelizing, you're baptizing to identify them as believers, but you've got to teach. At Mountain View, we have a passion here with our preaching and teaching ministry. We love God, we love people. Everybody needs to be doing that as believers. But I'm telling you, not every church prioritizes a teaching and preaching ministry of the Word. So you have a lot of fun, a lot of fluff, a lot of entertainment. But if you're not getting the Bible, what stinking good is it doing? That is my issue. Okay, that's my passion. Our task, it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe. Now we're going to talk about the next Sunday and into the next year with our new Sunday school year. So you ask the question, what is Sunday school? Why does it matter? All right. We have been commanded as a local body, we have been commanded to teach what Jesus has given us. So a church has to decide what is the best way or an effective way to teach. Okay, what is an effective way to make disciples? Now here's what's key, and you've got to keep this straight. I believe there is a difference in making converts and making disciples. I will not say names, but I'm telling you, I have known some preachers, they love their numbers. And all they want to know is how many converts we've had this year, whether they learned anything, if they even got saved. But if they came forward and repeated some prayer and said some magical experience, all of a sudden it's a new and a report on the form at the end of the year. Listen, we are not called to make converts. Now don't hear that wrong. Yes, we are. We want people to get saved. But I'm telling you, Jesus has made disciples. You want to make people, when they get saved, they're plugged into their church and they learn and they grow, and then they can also make more disciples. It's a disciple-making process. That's what the Great Commission is. So why do we do it? How do we do it in the church? Well, here at Mountain View, I'm going to say there's two primary ways we help you to become a disciple, to become a student, to become a learner. Now, obviously, on Sunday mornings, in our sermons, I am passionate about teaching in our messages, and that's discipleship. But I'm talking a little more informal. So two. Number one, Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, we've got something called Sunday school. And I'm going to explain where that came from in just a minute. here at Mountain View, almost every church, every denomination has some kind of a Bible study time where you can separate from a larger setting to get into a smaller group setting. You can study the Bible together. You can talk about life. You can kind of do life together. You can share concerns. You can fellowship together. And that's called, for us, Sunday school, or our Sunday morning Bible study. That is a way that we are attempting to make disciples. We want to grow together as believers. Second way, and I know it doesn't fit everybody's schedule, try to provide at least two opportunities through the week. You're going to be here Sunday morning anyway. You've got the opportunity for Sunday school, for discipleship, and then midweek Wednesday nights. It's an opportunity for those who are free and can come. We simply have an informal time of Bible study and discipleship. So we've chosen at Mountain View to have a two-pronged approach when it comes to discipleship and trying to make disciples, and of course with our giving and our sending as we can to do so to all nations with discipleship. But then the question comes up, when you think about what Jesus is here and we think about Sunday school, you ask and wonder this question: where did Sunday school come from? See, if you've grown up in church, you've always heard Sunday school. But have you ever thought about, hold on, why is it called school? I hate school, right? I mean, okay, not all y'all did, but for the most, you know, going through school, like, you know, the best part of school was getting out. I mean, it's being done. Lunchtime and recess, like, there we go. But I mean, that's just the way some people are. In others, it's not, but you know. So it's like, hold on. So we got something called Sunday school. Okay, where did that come from? Okay, now here's what you need to kind of understand. Go back to the earliest days. I'm talking Old Testament earliest days. It was commanded from the beginning that there be teaching of biblical truth. Moses put it on the home, by the way. Right? He said, parents, put scripture on the walls. Put scripture in your kids' heads when you're up, when you're down, when you're going, when you're coming. Get the Torah, get the law into your kids so they can know Yahweh, so they can know God. And if you go through history, you will discover that all through history of God's people and the church, there's been different ways of educating and teaching the people. Now, what happens is you come to the 1700s, and I'm going to put some of this up here in case you have not seen this before and you wonder where does Sunday school come from and what is it? Sunday school became a movement that truly was the greatest method ever of educating believers. And it became normative so that if a person considered a church, they automatically considered this thing called Sunday school. So Sunday school started actually, first Sunday school started in Britain. And I'm going to give you the name in case you're on Jeopardy and come across it sometime, but the guy who first devised the idea of bringing together a time for children initially to learn the Bible, his name was Robert Raikes. Now, this occurred in the 1780s. And here's what he did. Robert Raikes noticed that the kids in Britain were working 6 days a week. They were working in factories and they were working on farms. And he realized they didn't have time for school. They did not have time for learning. They did not know how to read. They did not know how to write. So Robert Raikes came up with an idea. He wanted a public way for the kids to gain an education. So he decided to start something on a Sunday, since that was the only day they were not working in the factories. He started something on a Sunday. It was school where they could learn to read and learn to write, and he used the Bible. And it was called a Sunday school. It could have been a Monday school, a Thursday school, but they were working. So he decided, we're going to do it on Sunday. Some of the kids were getting in trouble. They were bored. And he said, let's get the kids, bring them together, give them the opportunity to go to school since they don't have time during the week, and let's teach them how to read, teach them how to write. Now, what's strange, back then you could do it, today you couldn't because the Bible was outlawed in schools for the most part, but they actually use a Bible to learn to read and write. Imagine that. You go to jail today, imagine that. It shows you how far we've moved from a Judeo-Christian system. So Robert Raikes in the 1780s, he started this thing called a Sunday school. Now here's what's interesting. By the year 1811, the Sunday school idea had spread across Britain and into America. And by 1811, when Mr. Raikes died, they have recorded over 400,000 schools where students were using the Bible to learn to read and to write. It was called a Sunday school. Now, over time, it got into America. And so, in case you are interested, for just history's sake, in 1801, it is believed that the first actual Sunday school, and it was actually, I didn't put it up here, in Accomack County in Virginia. The oldest Sunday school we know of, where the kids got together on a Sunday for the purpose of education using the Bible. It was later in the 1800s, I think 1891, the Southern Baptist Convention began in 1845. In 1891, the Southern Baptist Convention decided we need to create a large-scale publishing house to produce material that can be used in Sunday schools so the kids can learn about God. So in 1891, something began known as the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, over time, the Sunday School Board eventually became known as Lifeway. Okay, we used to have a Lifeway store in Central Park. More people are buying online than in print. They closed the store. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say back in the 90s and in that time frame when we were still printing and things were not so digital, it would surprise you the size of the warehouse in Nashville, Tennessee, where they publish and produce Sunday school material, discipleship material. It would blow you away. So it began in the late 1800s when the Southern Baptists got on board and realized we need to maximize this thing called Sunday school. Over 99% of Baptist churches had, and probably still have, Sunday school. Now, we don't look at it today as much as an educational system for learning to read and write. Just on Sundays, the kids are working all week in the cornfields and factories. We don't see it that way today. And over time, it became known as a time opportunity for men and women, boys and girls, all to meet together in smaller groups with their peers to study the Bible and to increase discipleship. So every time you hear the word Sunday school, it goes back to the late 1700s to educate children using the Bible. Sunday school has become, through history, maybe the greatest way to make disciples. In many churches, Sunday school has become the driving force for outreach. It's become the front door to the church in many churches because you sometimes can get a person to come to a smaller group setting for Bible study among peers, but they may struggle coming into a larger setting where there's a bunch of strangers and people in a public service. That's kind of flipped some in recent years, but that is how it has been used throughout the history of many Baptist churches. So when we at Mountain View, in looking at the Great Commission, Jesus is teaching them to observe the reason we have Sunday school. It's an opportunity to help fulfill part of the command in the Great Commission. Now, some churches, most, almost all, still call it Sunday school. Some call it Bible fellowship groups or just a small group ministry of some sort. But the point is the same. The intention is the same. It's to gather in smaller groups with your peers for discipleship. So next Sunday we start a new year of Sunday school. And one of the reasons that I want to share this today is I want to encourage you to join us. I truly do. Back before the pandemic, we made a big push for our Sunday school Bible study time. I remember meeting. Wasn't long before everything kind of fell apart in March of that year. And man, we put together a big drive, and I think we sent postcards and letters, and we're really wanting to get. Now watch, It wasn't just to increase the numbers. Okay, you understand that. But we want people to interact with Scripture and be assimilated into the church. You know, get to know people better, smaller group setting. And Jared put together a meeting, and we sent out postcards and stuff. And we actually, man, it increased. We started the new adults, young adults class that I and Rhonda teach. And I think we were up to about 51, 52 people average. And then that little thing called coronavirus came through the land. And of course, everything changed. We made a big push. And I think now we average about 34, something like that on Sunday mornings. So here's where our kind of our passion is going into next Sunday. It's Jared's passion, and I share that passion. We are inviting you, encouraging you, and I want to command you, but I'm not going that far. But I want to invite you with all of my heart, encourage you to be here at 10 o'clock for discipleship hour. To join us for Sunday school. I was thinking through this, and I said, we've got the littlest ones down there, downstairs. And I think Liz has been helping with that class. And I'm going to tell you, if you can somehow pass yourself off as, was it, how many, what's the age limit, Liz? It don't matter. 3 or so years old, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. If you can somehow pass yourself off as under 6 years old and be in her class, you'd be real happy. Man, they color. And they come in with snacks. We've had a student, I know, little Charlotte, come by a couple times, and they was doing a lesson with Jesus multiplying the, you know, loaves and the fish. And Charlotte comes by my class, and she's got goodie bags. And there are snacks. And I say, y'all, we in the wrong class. We in the wrong class. I love y'all, but we need to go down the hall to Liz's class. So we got class there for the littlest kiddos. And then I go across the hall. I'm going to tell you what. I go over there, and I hear a familiar voice. It's Patricia Clift. And she's not fussing at Marty, believe it or not. And I hear that voice of Patricia Clift, and I think, Lord, how many years? How many years has her voice been ringing to the basement of Mountain View Baptist Church? I truly don't know, but I think you can measure it in decades, y'all. And I know every Sunday, I look over there and I hear Patricia getting her class ready for the older size kids before you get into the teenage years. And I'm tired. I say, Lord, bless that woman. She never complains. She's there every Sunday. And whether she's got one kid or 10 kids, it's the same Patricia trying to do discipleship. And then I move up from there and I think, all right, what we got next? I said, all right, now I got to go from the basement to the attic. Because now we got teenagers and the youth. And they say, oh yeah. Oh, MC's up there. Not MC Hammer, but Monty Cliff. And I said, MC's upstairs. And I know he's had Jane Rowson helping him some different ones through the years. And I said, oh, Monty's up there. They got the lounge chairs and the beach umbrellas. And they don't really have that. But they got the sofas up there and the boards. And I said, Monty's up there. Telling them police stories about criminals he's arrested and trying to help them stay on the right path in life. And I said, he's doing discipleship with your teenagers. And I said, all right, now where are we at next? I said, all right, we got teenagers and then we move into like the young adult. And that's where we tried to fill a gap a couple years ago. And me and Rhonda, we've got our class. I love my class. Like, I wouldn't mind skipping and going to Liz's for the snacks and treats, but I love my class. And we've got chairs lined up around the wall. And I got my young adults, and there's some married, some single. And we get to talk about life. We get to share about things going on in people's lives. And we get to pray for things. And we get to our lesson, and we make application for our lives and where we are. I'm like, man, that there is just called discipleship. And I said, all right, now, what's next, little brain? Start thinking. I said, all right, now, we go from there. Oh, yeah. We got a class here in the sanctuary. And it used to be in there. And I kind of hope we can get it back in there for a smaller setting. And I said, now we got in there. And this is kind of just like a mixed adults, right? If you're 20 or 120, right? If you're comfortable in a larger setting like that, boom, that's your spot. And I said, I think in there we got Jerry Kale's teaching. Billy stands in and teaches in there. And I said, Lord, you know what? That's just discipleship. Right? It's helping us learn and be pupils. And I'm going to tell you, for the teachers, the teachers learn more than the students. We are students. We're pupils as well as we study and prepare. And I said, now what else we got? So then I moved from there. I said, oh yeah, the bright spot. I said, we got over in here now. Used to meet in here. And again, I'm hoping to get back in there for that smaller intimate setting. The soft cushions the ladies like. I said, we got a ladies class in there. And I said, when I came here in 2004, that ladies class was called the Loyal Workers Room. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I've said it before. I am so thankful that God has allowed me to be here as long as He has. I'm so thankful for that. But you need to understand something. It's hard sometimes. Because I've seen some of y'all, when I came here, and you were like little kiddos, John Cliff. And I've seen some of y'all, you were kind of middle-aged, now you're grandparents. And I've seen some of y'all, you were older, and you got even older. And I've seen some of y'all, you were senior when I got here, and you ain't here right now, you're in heaven. Can I tell y'all, that's hard. When I came here, that room was full. Some older faithful ladies. And if I'm not mistaken, this past, was it November, when Beverly Gwynn went to heaven? I think, that was the last person from when I came in 04 that filled that class every Sunday for discipleship. Well, then it morphed, okay? It kind of morphed and we got into a different ladies' class. And so now we've got our ladies in there. I think Gwen, you know, she kind of facilitates discussion. We've had different ones step in with that class and they got a great time in there. Frances told me a few weeks ago, she said, I love my Sunday school class. But you know what it is? It's discipleship, right? It's sharing your experience with the students and back and forth. Look, that's what Jesus says here. It's part of the Great Commission. It's evangelizing, it's baptizing, but then it's teaching. So in Mountain View, we're about to kick off a new Sunday school year. And I'm excited about it. We got new books next week. Man, we're going into a new study, going through the book of James and some topics in there. Every age group has got a new study starting next Sunday. And so I want to emphasize and encourage you in Mountain View. Listen, y'all, it ain't about the numbers. Yeah, we hope we got average or 50, 60, whatever. But listen, it's about discipleship. It's about learning and being assimilated into the church and as much as your schedule allows. And I know sometimes it doesn't. I know it doesn't. I understand that. But as much as your schedule allows, I hope that you'll say, you know what? I like the church service. The sermons are usually okay. But I'm going to start getting involved in that smaller setting where I can study and I can get to know people. I'm going to start going to Sunday school. That's what today is all about. It's a transition Sunday into the fall. Next Sunday, we're going to jump into Revelation. But this Sunday, I told Jerry, I said, you know what God's put on my heart? I just want to emphasize discipleship. It comes out of the Great Commission. Now, why is that important? Here's my last statement. And we're going to be done. Why is that important? All right, here's a true statement, and you may have not thought about it this way, but here's a true statement. In your life and in my life, this is going to be true every single day. On a daily basis, you are either becoming more like Christ or you're becoming less like Christ. There is no neutral ground. Right? Oh, yeah. You try to live the Christian life on cruise control and see what happens. I promise you, you're going to go backward. Oh, yeah. You try to put marriage on autopilot and you see what happens. I promise you. It's not going to be what you want it to be. It is true in a believer's life. Discipleship is an ongoing process. It's not a sprint, right? It's a marathon. It's a process. And I guarantee you, if you don't have that regular injection of discipleship and fellowship with your church, it really makes it hard. So every single day, for every one of us, including me, we either are growing more like Christ or we are growing less like Him. So today, it's just a big old emphasis on our Bible study time, our Sunday school time, for the purpose of the Great Commission of teaching what Jesus has commanded. So let's pray as we are dismissed today, as we close. And as we are bowed together, just before I close us and we go, this is our invitation time. And you've heard the words that are spoken in Matthew chapter 28. You know our passion here at Mountain View is to have each of us plug into a time of Bible study. I know there are some circumstances of life. You flat out, honestly, you cannot get here. I understand that. It don't bother me one bit. I know, man, we got some stuff going in life. It's hard. But I'm just going to encourage you as a local church body as we start a new Sunday school year to prioritize the opportunity for discipleship, getting to know people better, having folks beside you to pray with you, and just learning from God's Word. So as we are bowed together, I want you to have the opportunity. Now, maybe you today can make a commitment to say, you know what? It has been a while since I've been in Sunday school. It's been a while since I got with the other ladies or got with the other guys or got with the other students, got with the other kids. And today, that's just going to be my commitment before God that unless I'm providentially hindered, and that's going to happen, I'm going to get involved and I'm going to get involved into a study group and I'm going to be there for discipleship. It may be that you are here today or maybe listening to this recorded message later that you are not a believer. You don't know for sure you've got heaven as your home. And this is your time to simply pray in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. You died on the cross for me. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm receiving you as my Savior, as my Lord. I'm committing my life to you. I want to be saved. I want to become a believer, and then commit myself to discipleship, to learn and grow. So whatever your need, I'm going to be quiet and give you the opportunity to pray today. This altar area is available for you if you need to come and pray for something specific. And then maybe you've come into the church house today. You've got a burden on your heart, on your mind. It has nothing to do with Sunday school. Be quite honest, you ain't even listening to much of what I've said because your mind is so hurting right now, burdened with something else. I want you to take advantage of the opportunity to lift that before God, before we leave today, and trust Him with it. So I'm going to be quiet. You respond. You pray. You reflect. You commit. The altar is available as well. I'm available after church if you need me. And after a few moments of listening to the music and praying, I'm going to close this and we're going to be dismissed. Thank you for playing for us so beautifully. Father, you've heard our prayers today. There's some who have made commitments that have said, unless I am providentially hindered, I'm plugging back into Sunday school, or I'm going to start for the first time to get into a class where I can learn and get to know some people. So we're excited about that. Lord, it is not about numbers. It's about learning. It's about discipleship and obeying the Great Commission of teaching everything Jesus has commanded so that we know how to live our lives better and we have wisdom for serving you, for knowing you, and for pleasing you. So bless commitments today. And then you know too, those who have lifted up to you burdens, maybe they begged you yet again this morning for a breakthrough in life with an issue at work or financial concern or marital issue, a family issue. You know those also. So all I can do is add an amen to what's been prayed and ask that you would work in every situation that has been lifted to you. Now as we leave, give us a good week and a safe week. Help us to be faithful to you in a world that oftentimes turns its back on you and truly at times hates you. Help us to be faithful as disciples. And we pray together now in Jesus' name as we approach you. Amen.